Alrighty. Hello there, everyone. Eddie Bowley here. So, you may notice we're at the end of the month now. I guess it depends when you're actually listening to this, but as of recording, it is the day before. Actually, I can't remember how many days of the month there are. There are 31 days in May, and I was meant to have gotten a podcast out in this month, and I did not. So, let me briefly explain why a podcast hasn't been out yet, and what we're actually going to do instead. So, I've been preparing for MCM London, which, again, as of recording, has just happened. It was over the weekend, just gone. And combined with getting the Aardman video made, just ate up every shred of free time I had. It was a mix of... So I was preparing the video, and it was an idea I had that I later rejected, and instead moved on to the Aardman and DreamWorks thing that it did become. But it meant basically I lost a week. I lost a week of work because I had begun writing the script, and then I just ditched the whole thing because it wasn't really coming together for me. So I did the Aardman and DreamWorks one instead. So because I lost that, I was kind of on the back foot. Simultaneously, I was trying to get prepared for MCM London. That involved getting like designs commissioned for artwork and prints and t-shirts even. I'm sort of really dabbing into like going a bit more full on when it comes to an MCM, like a comic convention. Before, I've like had a couple of posters out and like, you know, a minor presence, but this was the first time I wanted to really put myself out there and really try, okay, here we go. I'm a big boy now. I'm going to have my own merch stand. And like for my first time, I think it went really well. Like I got to meet a bunch of you patrons, which was awesome. And of course, you have non-patrons who are just either long time or new fans of my work and stuff like that. That's awesome. You know, I had people referencing Top 10 Bad and Crow Revolution, and I had people telling me how much they enjoyed the spoof movie video or the censorship video or even the Aardman video that had just come out that weekend. So that was awesome. As I sort of told people I'd meet, doing stuff like MCM is a very humbling experience because sometimes when it comes to YouTube, you only really ever see like number go big, and you know, and it'd be like, oh, lots of people like this video. Oh, not so many people like this video. But really, it's ultimately just a number that I'm looking at. But going to a convention and meeting people who tell me, you know, how much they like my work, or if it got them through hard times, or even if it just got them through like a meal, it reminds me that there are people behind those numbers. It's nice to be reminded of that every now and again. Sometimes when I'm bogged down and I think, oh, only 80,000 people liked this video versus what I kind of typically would expect would be more like 100k plus. But still, that's like, that's 80,000 people. That's still a lot of people. Like, I mean, obviously there's a lot of my career banking on the continued success of the videos. There's deals with sponsorships who expect guaranteed numbers and that kind of thing. So it's always like, it's always kind of a minefield when it comes to releasing videos and being both creatively and spiritually rewarding for myself, but also like a success on YouTube, like kind of playing that YouTube game, the algorithm game and that kind of thing. So it's kind of like a balancing act of what I want and what it, the algorithm, wants. But either way, it is, yeah, it's nice to be reminded every now and again, but it's like, it's still... I'm still making this for people. I'm making this for people to learn, to laugh, to, yeah, derive, broaden their minds, derive any kind of enjoyment that they see out of it, discover something new, or learn more about something that they hadn't realized, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, it's just a reward in experience to do. And it's nice to be reminded of that every now and again. So, yeah, it was just so exhausting. A lot of early nights, a lot of early mornings. I should say that again. A lot of early mornings and a lot of late nights. I mean, don't get me wrong. That's not to imply that I regret any of this. It's just, it's very exhausting. It takes a lot out of me. You know, I've taken today, I should be working today, but I've just taken the day off. Like, it's been a convention. I am doing little to nothing today, except record this, because I want to. Coming to the other point of what we're going to do instead. So, yes, doing the comic convention took up a lot of my time this month, combined with work, obviously my ongoing work stuff, and then also getting the Edake video out this month. The original plan for the Edake video was still Aardman related. It was going to be focused more exclusively on Chicken Run. And it had been kind of on my mind lately just because of the ongoing stuff like in America with Roe v. Wade and sort of reproductive rights and that kind of thing. And it made me sort of look at Chicken Run again in a slightly different light. And I think what we will do for this podcast, if you don't mind, would be that I guess I would effectively deliver to you what was my idea for the original Edake video. But in podcast form. I'm kind of contemplating making this a kind of series in of itself, where if I don't have a guest, maybe instead, or maybe as well as, I'm not sure yet, it depends how you guys like this, how this is received, would be to do something where, like, during the process of making a video, there would be other ideas, not necessarily it's not necessarily a case of where I was making one idea and I changed my mind and did something else instead, like in this instance. More like as I'm working on one specific idea, there's something else interesting happening, like within the show itself. But I don't really, because it's off topic to what I'm actually addressing, I don't really get to bring it up. Like, one thing I'd love to go into more detail about would be, like, in Captain Planet, for example, there's an ongoing relationship between Wheeler and Linker, and the turns that relationship takes, and the way that that kind of like 90s couple and like some of the more toxic masculinity tropes are like fully present in characters who are meant to be looked up to. We're meant to like. They're meant to demonstrate being good examples, and here's like characters being actively bad examples. So I thought that there's a lot of detail I can go into that, but there was no space for that in a video that was more focused on the environmental stuff. It was kind of like, yeah, I could throw it out as them being bad examples, but it'd be such a weird tangent to take in a video that's already, you know, long. So I thought maybe, you know, I could instead just turn that into something like this, where I just kind of deliver you those thoughts and back up evidence and stuff like that in a sort of more informal form. Maybe this could be vloggy. Maybe, you know, maybe I could just pop my camera out, film myself and deliver this same stuff, like the kind of like validation vlog that I did during Cloudy, for example. Or make it a podcast. You know, it's kind of, I'm kind of feeling my way through and see what works. But either way, I owe you a podcast. And so for this podcast, I will discuss with you what was my original plan for the Aardman video, which was about how Chicken Run explores the topic of freedom. Or in other words, what does freedom really mean? So let's get into that. So one thing that I've been thinking about is, like, say a prisoner escapes from jail, right? They might be free insofar as they are out of the jail, but they're not free because they're on the run, right? They are still running away from the law. They may be out of the prison, but they're still a prisoner. That then they could change their name, you know, assume a new identity. I've seen like a really fascinating YouTube documentary about this. Basically, it's a player's guidebook for how to hide your identity. It was designed to avoid the draft, avoid conscription. But instead, people used it to run away from their families for whatever reason. It may be that they got in trouble with the law or with gangs, or it could just be like they got extremely paranoid for some reason and they just had to flee. So they would create a new identity for themselves. So that's something a prisoner could do. If they escape from jail, they are still technically not free. So they could change their name instead and become an entirely new identity. They will never be found. But are they still free? Because, yeah, all right, they've changed their name and they're out. Okay, so they're out of the prison and they've changed their name. So they can't be found, but they're still hiding, aren't they? They're still hiding. So that means they're not free. They're hiding from like themselves. They're hiding from the truth. So it makes me think there's like, even when you're out of the prison and you have a new life, you could be in a different country. You could be doing anything you want, but you're still not free. And that's quite a fascinating, like, philosophical pondering that I've been doing, which led me to Chicken Run. So Chicken Run are about chickens who are constantly attempting to break out of their prison-like farm. It's based on The Great Escape, as I do say in the video, but like the walls are so like absurdly high, it's like really high fences for chickens. It could be to like protect them, I guess. Let me roll back and talk more about the stuff that it's based on. I said The Great Escape, but there's also like The Shawshank Redemption, where the character is jailed for a murder he didn't commit, or at least ways it's never really outright confirmed in the film that he didn't do it, but it is, for all intents, constantly presumed he didn't do it, and he's there for something he didn't do. This is to sort of frame him in such a way, and the same deal was in Great Escape, where they're prisoners of war, where they're basically still framed to be virtuous, right? They're still framed to be decent people. They are just embroiled in something else, like they are, you know, caught up in a crime they didn't commit, or political structures that place them to be prisoners of war. It's so when they are attempting to break free, it's now justified, right? It's framed as being they are innocent and they are trying to get out of this cruel and corrupted system that they are finding themselves trapped in. So they still got caught up in something that led them to be imprisoned, to make them the prisoner, right? To have their freedom taken away. But in the case of the chickens, they literally did nothing wrong. They are just chickens. This isn't like the classic movie trope of a criminal, but they've got a heart of gold and you want to see them like redeem themselves afterwards. And this isn't like, they are prisoners. However, the system is even worse and, you know, they have to like prove how corrupted this system is and take it down so it's a more fair system. Like, it's none of that. They are literally just born and then they're in prison. They are persecuted for existing. And I thought that had like really fascinating parallels with a lot of modern day politics. One obvious one that jumps to my mind is people born transgender, who have done nothing wrong other than be born, other than be transgender. But as a result, they are constantly persecuted, constantly villainized in various ways. And it's fascinating that, like, they are a prisoner, but they've done nothing wrong, right? They just exist. They are just there. But that's enough. That's enough for them to be, like, slandered and accused and feared and reviled and all this stuff. And it's bizarre. It's really, really bizarre because they've done nothing. It's like that goddamn bathroom argument. You know, it's like you're being attacked for a crime they haven't done it yet, right? It'd be like, oh no, this ginger person isn't allowed to go inside a coffee shop because they might burn it to the ground. And it's like, why would you incriminate someone for a crime they haven't done? Like, it's not even done yet. That implies that they might do it, but like, they just want to piss. It's all they want. It's all everyone wants to do. They just want to go to the toilet to piss. I'm getting slightly off topic of chickens, but yeah. So it was just a fascinating aspect there, unlike these like prison escape movies, which are generally male centric, very like men, like macho men, not even really macho, but like they're still like charming and endearing in some ways. And then like with the chickens, that, you know, they're women, and, or should I say, they're female. Right. And, you know, likewise, women are often persecuted for just existing. That's not to say like the history of women's rights, like voting and like being able to exist in without a man around. And also, still get to be women, right? I remember particularly in like the 90s and into the 2000s where there was this trend of like, I mean, obviously there was girl power, but there was also like, a girl can do it just as good as a man, the kind of mentality. Like you see like this slightly more tomboyish female characters who like, purposely shrug away femininity to sort of keep up with the men by presenting themselves more masculine. And that is still in of itself implying that femininity is weaker than masculinity. When it's not, it's just a different flavor, you know? I don't know why gender is like crisps, but that's apparently it comes in all the flavors. But the chickens like are females, and they continue to be females. They don't become more masculine. They resolve their problems, and they engage in like feminine activities, or typically feminine activities. You know, there's a character that's constantly knitting. There's like uses of like a teapot cover to like hide I think they're using, I forgot what they have, a teapot at one point, but they use like a tea cozy to cover it up and stuff like that. It's just part of the whole charm of the film, I think, to like subvert those expectations in multiple ways. And I think seeing female characters using feminine tropes to escape of a typically masculine scenario, it's just great. It's just really great to see. So it might be tempting to think that, like, these are just chickens, right? They're not prisoners. They're just chickens. And, like, we've seen chickens on farms and stuff like that. We don't really think of them as prisoners. Because, I mean, you know, they're free to roam around. We see in Chicken Run, like, you know, they're free to walk around. They've got their communities. They get constantly fed. They get cared for. I mentioned the fence before. You know, that could just be there to, like, you know, protect them from, like, foxes and stuff, right? They are free, but they're not free. It's because they're in a system that keeps them free. And this system is conditional, right? So the chickens produce eggs, and the moment that they stop making eggs, they get axed. And that is a pun. They get their heads cut off. So they have to provide in order to exist. They can't just exist and be and do what they want. They have to give to the system. And it turns the chickens into their bodies into commodities, right? And says that if you can't provide to society in a way that benefits the people in charge, then your life has no value. There's one of the eerie lines that came out of the Roe v. Wade thing, which was along the lines of, like, they need a surplus or a supply of American infants for adoption reasons and stuff like that. That sounds very sinister to me. That makes it sound like babies are products, and women are just vessels. It's just more encroaching on those freedoms. Again, freedoms that can't, like, it's just people existing and want to be able to live their lives the way they want to. But here are these systems that are, like, circling in around them like fences, saying, oh, yeah, you could be free. Sure. You just have to provide for us. You know? And this is different to, like, providing for a community. You know, this is different to, like, hey, everyone, let's work together to paint a fence. You know, or, you know, something that benefits everyone. Right? It's not that. This is a provision that provides only for the people in charge. The Tweedies, the guys who run the farm, they take the eggs. They keep the chickens, in air quotes, safe, as long as they provide the eggs. And the moment they can't provide the eggs that are meant to keep, you know, the Tweedies in profit, they get killed. So it's like, just stay in line, keep quiet, make babies, and you'll be fine. That's the message that kind of system tells you. And that's kind of what makes, like, Ginger, the main chicken, that kind of what makes her mission so seemingly impossible. Because it's not about the individual gains. Like, you think about Rocky, the rooster. He's just like a classic individualism. Classic individualism, right? So he is, like, he's all about himself. He could be libertarian, I guess. I don't know. But, like, the fact that, like, it's all about what benefits him. he's okay to lie, to string the other chickens along, as long as it continues to benefit him. And he might even like play up the whole like, oh yeah, I'm a free roaming chicken, or the lone free ranger he calls himself, and like he might think, oh, I'll just leave the farm and be fine. But he's not free, as we said with the prisoner thing, right? He might run away because he's running away from the circus, and no matter what he does, he's still just running away. And in Ginger's case, she's not looking for those individual gains. She's not looking for just for her to get out. She's looking to improve, or she's looking at the betterment of the collective. She's looking to help everyone, which stands in contrast to the villain, Mrs. Tweedy, the capitalist queen of hearts. Off with their heads, she might say. She is looking to industrialize the farm, going from eggs to pies, which like echoes Margaret Thatcher, the conservative like reforms in like the 80s, which like prioritized businesses over communities. So, I mean, like, well, one other thing, like, people might think that, like, when Mrs. Tweedy's like, we're gonna kill all the chickens right now, turn them all into pies, you might think that's a stupid plan. You might think, like, oh, but, like, what's the point in killing them all? You have none left, right? You'll do one wave of pies, and then you shut your business down, right? The sensible thing to do would be that she would kill some of the chickens and then keep the rest and have them breed and make more chickens. And then you got, you know, a sustainable business. But that's the thing. It's about exponential growth. It's about trying to get as big as you can, as fast as you can. And she would rather wipe the farm clean of all life if it meant immediate profit. That's how much the system values the community. In fact, the chicken run is meant to be vaguely set in like the 1950s, and it's around this time, particularly in the UK, supermarkets first started appearing. So it's fitting that Mrs. Tweedy would be fixated on getting so commercial. And even like we talk about femininity and stuff, she would weaponize femininity. She's like, we present them as Mrs. Tweedy's pies, the feminine touch, and how that makes the customer feel more comfortable or something like that. So she is using she's weaponizing femininity to profit, whereas the other chickens are using femininity in various ways to help everyone, to be themselves and to get out. There are many definitions of freedom. There's freedom from, freedom to, and freedom to be. So if you look at it in that way, Chicken Run, it's like they are looking to get out of a system. They are looking for that kind of paradise. But what they're looking to be is to have autonomy. I researched into like how various people define freedom. And again, this is quite a philosophical question, so there's like no real definitive answers. But it seems to be basically the absence of fear without oppression, or the expectations of others to be who you are without limitations. But then that starts creeping into like, well, say I wanted the freedom to run down the street naked and screaming. That would that start to harm others? If I could do whatever I want, because I'm freedom, then that would harm other people and therefore affect their freedom. Maybe they don't want to see me running down the street naked and screaming. Can it still be called freedom if I lack the responsibility of it? It still means you have to care for the emotion of others and work together for the betterment of everyone. Because ultimately, it's for a long-term good. Running down the street naked or any other frivolous things, those are all short-term gains. And you might still think that they come under a banner of freedoms. If it's not doing anything that's like improving life, not just for yourself, but for everyone, can it be called freedom? Like, say you had the freedom to hoard all the water. You'd be like, I'm free to have all this water, but if you don't share, are you any better than a Tweety? That should be a slogan. Are you any better than a Tweety? Say you wanted to be like, I wanted the freedom to have all the money in the world. But like, are you free then? You know? Oh, sure, you might be comfortable and stuff, but like, you're still beholden to the system, to the rules, to hell, even like whatever the bank does. You know, a bank has shut down and all your money's gone. So it's not so free now, are you? And it's impossible to have all that money and at the same time not be encroaching on other people's freedoms. You know, you can't have a billionaire without a million poor people, right? So doesn't that fall under the same line of a freedom affecting another person's freedom? I think that's where we start to creep into injustice, right? Which is probably the biggest threat to freedom, injustice. It's not fair. And so that's what's been so scary of late with the reproductive rights of America. It's injustices. And therefore, inherently, it starts affecting freedoms. And no matter what their claimed motivation behind it all is, it is ultimately still just a fence to keep you in. To keep you in line to provide back to that system. They are turning people into prisoners simply for existing. Let's say fine. You're like, okay, fine. We'll provide for the system. Let's just keep our heads down, you know? Let's not make a fuss, not make a scene. Keep our heads down, keep our nose clean, yeah? The similar argument's brought up in Chicken Run, right? They're like, well, if we spent more time making eggs and instead of trying to escape, maybe we would be safe. And that's where the argument's brought up that the fences aren't just around them, they are in their minds. And also, as the film presents, it doesn't stop there. Whilst the deal may be, you provide chickens and we'll keep you alive, if they're in charge and you don't get a say in that system, then they can change the rules on you like that, and they won't stop. They went from having the chickens provide eggs to being made into pies. And if reproductive rights are lost in America, it won't stop there. They'll go for everyone else's rights next. Whatever keeps them in power, whatever keeps them in charge of the system. It was about this point where I kind of ran out of script for the Chikorin idea. That was like a very partially scripted, but mostly unscripted word vomit of the basic idea of the video. It's obviously unstructured and unrefined, but that was the basic idea. I kind of realized that. Now, I'm not afraid to be political on my channel. I'm quite proud of the fact that I have the space to allow my left-leaning values unashamedly be presented in the videos. But I've never, like, obviously I've never crowbarred them in, right? It's only ever been when it's relevant. Which I think maybe catches people off guard sometimes. You know, the spoof movie one in particular makes me think of, like, a number of people who want me to, like, be clutching pearls and being like, oh, it's because people took such offense at jokes because you can't make comedy these days. People get so offended. Yeah, they wanted me to say that, and I didn't. I said, hey, maybe these films are bad, actually. Maybe the so-called jokes in them aren't very good in the first place. And people don't like having those values challenged. So I was called out for it. But either way, I'm not afraid to be political. But this would have been a video that took politics head on. This would have been a political video from the get-go. And like Captain Planet is another example of a video that's very heavily political. But this would have been quite the attack. And I guess in a manner I got worried that maybe I'm ill-equipped to make these arguments on my main platform. I still hold these values. I still believe absolutely in reproductive rights, in pro-choice. But I guess I got nervous that if I made a video that was all about that from a channel that has just made a video about how does cat dog shit, then it would be jarring, unwelcoming, maybe even overall bad, right? I don't know. Maybe I'm a coward. Maybe I'm a chicken. Hey, oh my God, that was the obvious joke, Eddie. God damn it. But I just got too nervous that I just felt that I wasn't the right person to say this stuff. Because my channel isn't political. You know, if this was a H-Bomber Guy video, if this was a Sean video, like I'm not sure, like if it was like on a channel that was more dominantly political but then talks about other stuff too, it would fit there. But I'm the other way around, and also I felt as well, I mean this is more justifying my cowardness, but I didn't really know how stuff would play out. I still don't fully know how stuff has played out. The fact that it was happening there and then made me quite impassioned to want to tackle it as a topic. But then, it depended on what direction it took, it could have changed. I could have released such a video just to find out it was irrelevant. It was fine now, you know? It's a multitude of reasons. And I thought, maybe I can put it off for later. I can still make a chicken run video. Just because I've made a video about Aardman in general doesn't stop me also making a video about Chicken Run down the line. Maybe. I also felt that the topic has been covered better by other people. I've seen videos that talk about how Chicken Run is about communism, about how Chicken Run is about feminism. There have been like way more in-depth analysis of this film than the angle that I was coming at. And I guess I just felt ill-informed as well, because I'm British as well. I'm not even in America, so I don't know what life is like for an American person. I don't know what an abortion clinics are like in America. You know, I don't have any of that kind of first-hand experience. And for me, having only watched the film and read a few articles, maybe that wasn't enough. I would have to do something right, to do something this justified, I think would have more involved me interviewing people, would have involved me speaking to more, more informed experts, or even just people who have lived the experience, tell me their stories, and then I can at least say with certainty that I stand by my arguments. And as I said, as I felt like in the time, in the moment, I felt ill-informed to do that, and in turn could have potentially done more damage than good. I realize this is a long-winded way of saying that I basically chickened out of touching quite a raw subject in a video that's about a chicken movie. But that is what I decided to do. I put the video aside, started a brand new video. I thought, well, since I've got Chicken Run on the mind, let's look at Aardman as a whole. It was through the research on Chicken Run that led me to the ongoing stuff between them and DreamWorks, and I dug through more of that, and I found a really fascinating story about that, something that I can talk about, and also, like, the shape and the form of the subject felt natural, because I'm talking about history, so there's a natural structure to it. And as I sort of said with the notes that I've kind of, like, vomited onto this podcast, that it was unstructured. So, like, it was like a lot of information. Like, usually some of these projects involve, like, I get all the information and then I structure it. And because I lost that lead time, it doubly helped that I found a topic that was effectively recounting a history, therefore was naturally structured. It was just, where did it begin and how does it end? I burped. But yeah, that was basically it. I felt like I could share this with you, the patrons, because obviously you're willing to support me, and therefore I feel safer to discuss these thoughts with you. YouTube isn't really the best place for nuanced comments and thoughts, but I figured you guys would be a bit more of a forgiving audience, especially if any of the stuff I've just said was erroneous. You know, I feel like you know me better to be like, well, he meant well. I don't know. So, yeah. All right. So that was basically it. That was basically the Chicken Run video that didn't happen. And also in turn, a podcast for you. So, what do you think of this? As a format, not the Chicken Run video idea, but I meant the concept of me talking about, it's almost like a topic within a topic. It's like, if I'm going to talk about a thing, I might discover a story that I want to share. I mean, in a manner, I've been doing this already. As I said, I did a vlog about my feelings with validation. I then did the boat rant, you know, so there's almost like stories within stories that maybe don't fit in the video itself, but might make as a fun bonus for you guys. You tell me if that works for you. But either way, I apologize for the lack of the otherwise normal exclusive content podcast. I assure you we'll be back. It's just one of these things that fell entirely by the wayside because of comic conventions, getting a video out, other work, stuff like that. My plate got too full, and I some things fell off the side. So there'll be an exclusive content podcast next month, and as well as a new video and other things, stuff and things. Hooray. So that's the end of the podcast. Thank you very much for joining me. Take care.